Just commit this time to the God, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to share your word. We pray, God and Father, that you may use your servant, prepare the heart of your people as they listen to your word. We ask this, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, may please be accepted in thy sight, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. No, I'm sorry. Sorry. 1 Samuel, chapter 24. We're going to read from verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistine that it was told him, saying, take notice that David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel, and he went to seek David and his men and the rock of the wild goat. So he came to the sheepfold by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his need, to his needs. David and his men, they were staying in the recess of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do whatsoever it seems to do to him. And David arose. And David arose secretly and cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David had it troubled him because he had cut off Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. He is the Lord anointed to stretch out my hand against him and to do this thing. Verse 7, David said this to restrain his men from attacking Saul. And I trust that the Lord would add a richest blessing to the reading of his word, for his name and mercy's sake. I believe if we read and hear the word of God, and we does not change, and it does not take effect in our life, it does not help us to be better, I believe that we read and listen in vain. This is not a scripture verse. That's what I am saying. In Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, with teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, so that we could live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. This lesson is about God's grace that should be demonstrated in the life of the people of God. I begin with a question. Or not a question, but I begin by saying how to show grace to those who take grace for granted. It's like giving you a lesson, how we should show grace to those who take grace for granted. This passage in 1 Samuel is about Saul and David's conflict. Saul, who caused grief and sorrow to David, but David extend grace after grace after grace. In James 4 and verse 6 says, God give more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In 2 Corinthians, he said to Paul the apostle, my grace is sufficient for you. Some of us may have a Saul in our life that causes pain and grief. Maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe at school. But the question is, how do you deal with him or her after you show grace after grace? Saul is described as a disobedient, an arrogant, rebellious king. This lesson, it begins in 1 Samuel chapter 15. After God rejects Saul from being king over Israel because he did not obey the command of God to utterly destroy the Amalekite, we see that in chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Chapter 15, verse 2 and 3, tell us that. And the Amalekite, there was a wicked and sinful nation, which attack and destroy the people of God. And this was God's judgment to the Amalekites, right? This was how God is going to use, wanted to use Saul to destroy the Amalekites for their wickedness. And that was God's judgment. And this could remind us that God is going to judge this world, or that God's judgment is sure. Like his judgment with the flood in the days of Noah, his judgment was sure. Like his judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said that God's judgment is sure. Like Joshua around the wall of Jericho, this reminds us that God's judgment is sure. And our world today, I want to remind our world today, God's judgment is sure. In Acts 17, 30 to 31, we said, and a time of ignorance, God will wink But now commanded men everywhere to repent, because God has appointed a day in which he would judge this world in righteousness by that man Christ Jesus. Wherefore, he had given us the assurance that in that he raised Christ from the dead. This is one of the assurance. We know that God is going to judge this world. We had example of what he did in the past, and God would keep his promise. His promise is sure. His promise is sure. In chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, it reminds us there that Saul is rejected from because of his disobedience. That's the reason why Saul has been rejected. Now, Saul is being rejected. He did not being rejected as being part of the nation. He rejected just as being king because of his disobedience. And I believe that Saul could have maybe repent and confess to God and say, look, I want to continue. But Saul, we're going to see what happened later on. In verse 20, verse chapter 12, sorry, in same chapter 15, verse 12 to 21, Saul here is justifying his disobedience with lies and excuse to the prophet Samuel. We see that in verse 12 to 21. What he's saying, he's making his excuse that is what we took is because we want to take it to sacrifice to God. That's his excuse. But I did not really read, continue to let you know what had happened. Basically, what happened, Saul disobeyed God, and what he did, he saved the king Agag, and he took all the best portion of the land, and he did not obey God when he said to destroy everything. So that was first Saul, that was Saul where Saul disobeyed. In verse chapter 15, verse 22 to 35, Samuel, the man of God, with loyalty and integrity and courage, he had the courage to confront Saul's sin. Samuel was able to face Saul, and he identified Saul's sin, and he told Saul that he rebelled. He rebelled against God. He had the courage to do this thing. And likewise, in Joshua 1:6, God told Joshua, as leader, he said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and have great courage. You know, he said, I will be with you wheresoever you go. That's what God told Joshua when Joshua was taking over the leadership from Moses. Be strong and have great courage. I promise I will be with you wherever you go. Leaders of God like Samuel, he said, be strong and courageous with loyalty, integrity. God promised to be with us, to be with you wherever you go. chapter 16, David is chosen by God, and he has been anointed by Samuel the prophet to be king over Israel. David, pretty young man, but God reject Saul, so now he looked for a king. He knew who God already knew. God is the one who doing the choosing. Just to remind you that. God, he does the choosing. And God already chose David because he already see what was in David. So God sent Samuel to anoint David, a very young man. In chapter 17, we're going to go to our first chapter before we just reach into 24. Chapter 17, David, he's the one that killed Goliath and became famous in Israel. Saul gave David rank as army in the army, and David was successful in everything that he did. In all that he did, he was successful, and David was loved by all Israel. Chapter 18, we're going to go through a little faster. Saul began to resent David. We see that in this chapter 18, verse 7 to 9. Saul began to resent David. Saul got very bitter, and he expressed great anger to David. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, he says, make sure that you receive the grace of God, and make sure that no root of bitterness spring up in you. We find that in Hebrews 12, 15. The people with God, Saul got bitter with David, he got bitter with Samuel, he got bitter even with the people of God and with God. Chapter 18, verse 11, Saul tried to kill David. Chapter 19, Saul continued his murder campaign against David. Chapter 20, Saul tried again to kill David. He tried to get his son Jonathan to kill David. Chapter 21, Jonathan showed his loyalty to David. Chapter 22, we see that David and his men was hiding from Saul. 23, David and his men, they was in the wilderness of En-Gedi, again hiding from Saul. And here we go to the passage in chapter 24 that speak about God's amazing grace. Chapter 24 is the lesson of grace. And it reminds us here that one day, David had the opportunity to get even with Saul. Saul came into the same cave where David and his men was hiding from him. The same cave where David and his men was hiding from Saul. Saul came to the same cave. My question is, what would you do if you had the opportunity with Saul, with your Saul that come into your life? My question is, what would you do with this opportunity? Our Christian life, when you act in grace, you show God's character. Joseph, as a picture of grace. David, a picture of God's grace, what he showed towards Saul. Grace is of God. And he reminds us we need to show grace. David, he refused the opportunity to get even with Saul. Grace for this world is God's abundant riches at Christ's expense. Grace, love, and mercy, these three attributes, they work together. Ephesians 2, verse 4 reminds us, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, he saves us by his grace. Praise the Lord. Grace is the divine unmerited favor of God. Grace is getting God's mercy that we do not deserve. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, 1 Peter 2 verse 21, can you put 1 Peter 2 and 21 on the board for me, please? Oh, yes. 1 Peter, it says, for to you, or for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you shall follow after his footstep. Christ left this example that we should follow his footstep. That's the example that Christ called us to follow. Christ is our great example of grace. Grace is God's unconditional love for you and for me. As we see in John 3:16, one of the most popular verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse, everybody. Grace is what Jesus, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. When Jesus Christ was upon the cross, and despite what they did to him, they deserve the judgment of God. But Jesus cried and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, what they are doing. And they deserve God's judgment. Grace is when Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery, in the very act, when he said to her, neither I condemn you, go and sin no more. We saw that under the law, the men had stone ready to stone her to death. Prepare ready to stone her to death. But Jesus said to her, neither I condemn you, go and sin no more. We believe by now they all put down the stone one by one and walk away, because Jesus Christ extend his grace to her. And the way for we to believe to be better each day. I didn't get that quite well. The way for we believers to be better each day is to extend the grace that we receive to others. The grace that we receive from God to others We need to extend it to others. Grace is going out of your way to give your love, your compassion, your kindness to someone, even if they does not deserve it. So what can we learn from this lesson today? Remind ourselves, Samuel, the prophet, he was not a perfect man, but he was a loyal man, loyal to God. He had courage to confront Saul. We see Saul as a type of the world. Saul is a type of the human nature without the Holy Spirit. David, as the believer responsibility to show grace. God's judgment is sure. We see that earlier, that God's judgment is sure. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's saying today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can receive God's grace in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here this morning that have not received the grace of God, I am appealing to you that you can trust in the finished work of Calvary, what Jesus Christ has done, went on the cross to give his life a ransom, that you can trust in him and believe in him, and you will have eternal life through Christ Jesus. God's grace is an amazing grace. God's grace is a grace that extends to all. Just waking up this morning, being able to get out, it was not promised to you. That's free grace, that grants God's grace. But you can receive the grace of God that can give you eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. And this grace comes only by faith, by believing the word that you hear this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's simple, simple like that. And you can receive the grace of God by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. As we know that everyone coming to this world, we come from Adam's race. We come because of Adam's disobedience. We all inherit the sin. But God sent his Son Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for our sin. And by believing in him, by trusting in him, you can get your sins forgiven and have hope for eternity. Have hope to live and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ himself throughout countless age of eternity. And it's simple like that. Hearing the word and believing in him, and you receive God's grace. God's grace that is so amazing. God's grace that is so divine. Sometimes we sing, it demands my heart, demands my soul, it demands my all. There is a song that I love very much. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sun that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found. I once was blind, but now I see. This was the testimony of a man by the name of John Newton. He was a British slave. He was a British slave trader. And I think it was sometime in 1772, as he was on a voyage with slaves. There was a hurricane and that took him, a great storm that took him on the sea. And as he was trying to control this boat, trying to steer this boat for many hours, because of the sea, he could not control him it. But what John Newton do, he cried to the Lord and he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved John Newton. You know what he did? When John Newton went back, what he did, he met with William Wilberforce. And what he did, they begin to help William Wilberforce to abolish slave trade. He was a changed man. He opened a church and he began to inviting people for saving grace, because you see, he was saved. And he realized that he cannot keep him by himself, because what God did, Jesus gave him, he reconciled him, and it was John Newton's responsibility to reconcile others back to Christ. And this should be our responsibility. When we cry on God and he hears us and he answers us, he shows grace to us, we need to show the same grace to others. Amazing grace. How sweet the sun that save a wretch like me. That should be everyone's testimony who came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ with his amazing grace. It may be in a different situation. You may not be on a rugged sea. But in whatever corner the Lord met you, should be able to share this amazing grace with someone and cause them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. I trust that if you heard the word of God's grace this morning, you may apply yourself to God's grace before time change to eternity. It is your responsibility to, as you hear the word, to take heed and do not take the word of God for granted or in vain. I trust that what you heard this morning may make great impact in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.